Welcome back to Too Long Did Read It, everyone's favorite investigation, uncovering, unlayering, dissection of the corners, the ceilings, the floor, the crawl space of Reddit.
Just if anybody's wondering and loves how Allison introduces this podcast, there is a merch version of Allison's intros that is on justbetweenuspod.com. It's a mug, so you can drink coffee and see everything that Allison has ever said to introduce TLDRI. it's so funny.
Up until it was printed.
I'm still making new stuff every day.
Yeah. It's one of my favorite pieces of merch that we have, and I feel that it's underrated.
Well, we have not recorded together in, I don't even know how long, over a month, maybe?
Is that true?
It's been, because I left on December 13th, so yeah.
Whoa.
Wow. So I don't even really know you two anymore.
Oh, I've been to your house.
You literally saw me 3 days ago.
Oh my God.
What if we don't have on-air chemistry anymore?
Oh, okay. Yeah, we lost it.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, one of the things we left in 2023.
Yeah, it's done, I guess.
But thank God for this show, we have things we can read out loud to each other. So it doesn't really matter if we have original thoughts or conversations.
Allison!
What?
We have original thoughts for each other, okay?
I know, but I'm just, 2024 is about lowering expectations.
Jesus Christ.
But if you start with them on the floor, then you can only go up.
That's what I'm talking about. I have a new subreddit for all of us. Yeah. I don't think we've done it before. It's Entitled Parents.
Oh my God. Okay, I have one that's Entitled People.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, we really have some grievances.
Look, the chemistry is still cooking.
I was going to say, sometimes me and Allison are on a wavelength. And also me and Melissa show up to recordings dressed alike sometimes.
Today you're both in blue.
Yeah, it happens.
And I'm in red. Wow. Shocking. Not black. Also, look at my nails. Can you tell which one is fake?
Well, it's kind of blurry. You got to pull them closer.
Okay, what do you mean which one is fake?
One of them, my nail broke like to the middle and they had to use a fake tip.
My nail is also broken to the middle and I just put a Band-Aid on it.
What is going on?
I don't know.
I don't know, but they fixed it, and the rest are my real nails, and then one is fake, but you can't tell, can you? I can't even remember which is the fake.
I mean, that's really not that shocking.
Hey, I don't mean to be awkward, but are you married?
Me? Yeah.
Because you were just holding up your hand, and I just noticed a ring,
right?
So I was, I was so curious.
Isn't it wild that I'm married? We did it, guys.
I actually slipped the other day. I was like, well, Allison's boyfriend. And then I went, sorry, her husband?
Also, I slipped the other day, too. I was awkwardly like, my partner will be there to pick it up. And I'm like, what? Why did I say
that? I mean, that still works.
I also found that I do this thing. I'm just thinking of it now. That when I talk about John, I say, Allison's husband, who I like. I like him. I don't know
do you
why
not
I feel like I
like most your friends' spouses?
I feel like there's a negative connotation to a woman's husband that I have to then, before I speak about him, say, who we like him.
But that doesn't sound convincing to me.
Really?
No.
I think maybe people think that I would have a problem with like a straight guy. So I feel obligated to, when I talk about John, say up front that I like him. He's great. I like him. He's great. That's what I say.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I'm sure he appreciates it. Who doesn't love praise, even when you don't hear it happening?
The fans love him.
He's a big hit, right?
He's a hit.
Our YouTube videos do the best when he's in them.
It's so nuts.
Don't know what that says about us, but not here to examine it. But we are here to examine this post from Entitled Parents, entitled, My Father-in-Law Had a Meltdown Because I Proved He Doesn't Know His Son.
Incredible. Incredible.
So me, 34 male, and my husband, 30 male, do our damnedest to not spend an abundance of time with my father-in-law. He's a cowardly narcissist who says hot dog, unironically.
Okay, there's nothing wrong with that, first of all, but go on.
Ever since I came into the picture almost 7 years ago, we have simply not meshed. A great deal of that is due to the fact that I've spent those years instilling confidence and boundary setting in husband. Yeah. Father-in-law does not like being told no. We literally got kicked out of a restaurant one time because he couldn't accept that they wouldn't give him a discount.
Oh my gosh.
So needless to say, our interactions are nothing more than the exchanging of fake pleasantries. Mm-hmm. I know what that's like with certain people.
Yeah.
So last week, we're over there for our quarterly visit. The way these evenings typically go is that my husband occupies my father-in-law while my mother-in-law tests out her new English vocabulary on me.
Oh, God.
Wow. I gotta say, I didn't think this guy would still be married, but
I was gonna say, I mean, look, there's a lot of couples like this where we're like, wow, you really just said, I'm sticking with it.
This time, my husband is doing the bulk of the talking to both of them because he's excited about the new organization he's working with. Father-in-law keeps trying to change the subject because it's been 2 seconds since the subject of the conversation was about him.
Wow, I've never experienced this in my life.
My husband and my mother-in-law both snap. I'm not entirely sure what they said as my Spanish is still terrible, but it amounted to them telling father-in-law to shut the fuck up and listen. Father-in-law gets obstinate and essentially tells my husband that no matter what the organization is, it'll never compare to the work he did in his youth. Father-in-law literally just hiked through Central America with a white savior complex until things got violent and he came back home.
Oh my God.
My husband understandably storms out with my mother-in-law hot on his tail. Awkwardness ensues because I'm chuckling at father-in-law. Okay, and so now we have a little dialogue. I'll play the OP, and Gabe, do you want to play the father-in-law?
I've been preparing for this role my whole life.
I was about to say, okay. An entitled parent? Okay, here we go.
I know something about that. Let me crack my knuckles and get into character. He never spoke to me like that until you came along.
I know. I'm so proud.
You've changed him.
No, this is who he's always been. You just never noticed it before.
I know, my son.
What's his favorite color?
What?
What's his favorite color? It's the same one he had as a kid.
Dot, dot, dot.
Name two of his interests.
They don't make any sense.
Name them.
Dot, dot, dot.
Here's an easy one. What's the name of the organization he's working with?
Dot, dot, dot.
This wannabe Bob Ross granola-eating mofo couldn't answer. My husband said the name of the organization like 5 times that night. Me. You want to know the sad part? My parents can answer each and every one of those questions, and they've known your son a fraction of the time you have.
Gag. Work, bitch.
Cue the screeching in Spanish. Being yelled at in a foreign language by a non-native speaker is a surreal experience. Obviously, my husband comes in and yells back, and it blows up even more. But the part that stands out is the fact that father-in-law still refused to admit that he just hadn't taken a genuine interest in my husband in years. Like, bruh, you don't even know your kid's favorite color. Hello? Now my husband is contemplating going no contact, and I can't blame him.
I love this first comment. The truth hurts in every language.
Oh, that is great.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it is like sort of arbitrary stuff to know about someone, like, you know, favorite color, things like that.
Yeah, but I don't think my parents could answer that.
But to prove that he wasn't even listening that day, so he doesn't even know what the organization is. I find it so fascinating when parents have no interest in what their kid is up to. Mm-hmm. Like when I dated my ex, one of my exes, she finally came out to her mom at the time and was like talking about me. And the mom had no questions. And then I was like, how, like if that was my kid, even if I was homophobic, I would be like, is this person hitting you? Like, that's my thought, right? Is that like, even if you're homophobic, even if whatever, if to have no interest in what's going on in your kid's life, like you don't even care to be like, hey, are you happy in your relationship? Are they mean to you? Are they treating you well? Like this is like a really rough thing to say, but I would constantly be like, she doesn't even care to know my name. Like, what if I was like hitting you every day? Like she doesn't, you know what I mean? Like, How as a parent, are you so uninterested in what's going on with your child?
Well, because all sorts of people have kids, right? Like, Most people you meet aren't awesome, but then a lot of people have children.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah. I'm just like, how can you give birth and raise someone who you have no interest in knowing?
Well, I think for some people, it's that where, like, they just don't have interest. And then some people think that their kid is just them.
I know.
And so they know what's best for their kids, and therefore they know their kid because they know what their kid should and shouldn't be doing.
Also, this seems like this father-in-law, it seems like he wants to be in competition with his son. Like, everything that his son is doing is not good enough for him, or it's not better than something that he's done before.
It's sad because some of the best people I know, their parents don't care about them. And I'm like, wow, you're so awesome. If I was born into being your family, I would feel so lucky to know you. But instead, you don't give a shit. Like, it's so weird.
And I think that's why, like, we're seeing more conversations about if we have to be in touch with our family members than we did before.
Yeah.
Like, it's becoming less shocking to hear that somebody is either estranged or has a very, very distant relationship with a family. And it kind of makes sense. I mean, estrangement is very tough, but, like, also this idea that, like, they're your family, you should tolerate everything, isn't something I think we need to hold on to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. I mean, I feel like if I had a kid, I would be, like, so curious of, like, what are your interests going to be? What are you, like, what are you going to turn out as? What are you thinking, you know? I would be so curious about this little thing that I made.
You just constantly be like, what are you thinking? And the kid's like, I'm napping. Yeah. I'm trying to take a nap.
I'm constantly just like, have you learned about this yet? And they're like, what? And I'm like, okay, not yet. Or they have their own little personalities. So like seeing it emerge or whatever. And then just be, I guess it's like what you wrote about in your thing, right? Like, what if your kid is like a Republican, which is the plot of Family Ties. But like.
But that was different because being a Republican then is different than now.
Yeah, it just meant he, like, wore a suit to school.
Yeah. And he cared a lot about money.
Yeah, that was basically it. And we were supposed to be pissed about that?
I was listening to a TikTok comedian. I don't remember, even though I see his videos every day. And he was talking about how, like, now they, like, teach math differently to kids. Mm-hmm. And so when he's, like, trying to help his kids, he's like, I have no idea what this process is.
Yeah.
Have you seen that with your nieces and nephews, Melissa?
Yeah, there's new math there. I mean, like, the answer is still the same, but they try to come up with a different way for them to get to the answer. And I'm like, let's just get to the answer.
Yeah, it's like a whole long process thing to, like, get to the same answer.
Well, I remember growing up, my parents were like, I would be like, I'm doing multiplication tables. And my parents would be like, good luck. I think my mom honestly was helping me cheat. Because we had to, like, write the times tables by hand, like, all the time, like, at night, like, for homework, we would just have to write the times tables. I don't know if you had that. And my mom was like, oh, my God, this is going to take forever. So she just wrote some of them with me. We were just sitting there writing the times tables together. Because she was like, okay, why are they making you do this for? Like, we had to write it. They would be like, okay, go home and write all of them four times.
I would just go through. And because it's the, you're just adding, like, if it's the multiplication by three, you're just adding three to each one. So just go through and just do the numbers and not even think about it.
Yeah, that's what we were doing.
Yeah. Like, yeah, it's all memorization. There's no point.
Yeah, they were having us memorize. Yeah. But it's like, why by hand in the, what grade was I in?
That would have been like fifth grade.
Third grade. I think it was. It was third grade. I'll tell you, it was Mrs. Zeidel in third grade who was not nice. And took away my Beanie Baby one time, so.
Is this the math teacher that
ruined
your life?
No, the math teacher that I hated was Miss Cohn. This is another math teacher who I didn't like, Miss Zeidel. And then I have teachers I did like, Miss Cole, who my mom is still a friends with. Maura Anat, I liked her. You didn't have to write the times tables over and over again?
You can't ask me something about my childhood. I'm not going to know.
Okay, well, no your idea. Parents would remember because it's torturous.
Hi everyone, Allison here. Anyone who knows me well knows that I love to read. I am always looking for new books, and that is why I'm so excited that this episode is sponsored by Book of the Month. Book of the Month's mission is to help readers discover new books they love and to promote the work of emerging authors. It was so fun for me to get to pick which book I wanted to read this month and have it shipped right to my door. Book of the Month makes it easy to decide which book to read next. Each month, the editorial team reads through hundreds of new titles. They pick some of the best new books for you to choose from. All the books are good, so you can't go wrong. Every aspect of the Book of the Month experience is designed to be fun and special for readers. They have a highly anticipated anticipated release at the beginning of each month. Books are delivered in this really adorable bright blue box, and there's a fun app to help you pick your book and track your reading process. They also offer great values on new release hardcover fiction. It's much cheaper than other options, shipping is always free, and with a loyalty program, you get rewards and even lower prices the longer you stay as a member. My first book from Book of the Month was The Husbands by Holly Gramazio. I am tearing through this book. It is so fun. It's basically about this woman who one day comes home and there's a husband in her apartment, and she's like, "Where did you come from?" And then she figures out that every time her new husband goes into the attic, a new husband comes out, and she's like shuffling through all these different husbands from the attic trying to figure out which one is the best. It is right up my alley, and I love it so much. So if you want to take part in Book of the Month and have a brand new book shipped right to your door every single month, go to bookofthemonth.com and get your first book for $5 with code PETALS. That's $5 off with code PETALS. I cannot recommend this enough.
Has dealing with stress and trying to get more focused a New Year's resolution you haven't cracked yet or don't really know how to fix? I have a lot of trouble staying focused, and I also get super stressed out, and I think the not being able to stay focused really dovetails with that. So if there was a way for me to keep my focus that didn't also cause my brain to get so scattered with stress, I would love to be able to fix it. I sometimes can't focus on the task at hand because I'm so busy realizing that there are things I need to do on the Just Between Us Instagram account. So I'll be like fully writing something, and all of a sudden my brain will go, JBU Instagram, have to post on social media. Truvaga is a handheld product that stimulates the vagus nerve to improve overall health and wellness. Stimulating the vagus nerve with Truvaga helps to balance and strengthen the nervous system, which reduces stress, increases focus, improves mood, and improves sleep. Truvaga is owned by ElectroCore and uses its patented technology for overall health and wellness benefits. Its utilized technology is the most clinically studied and tested vagus nerve therapy available. Customizable sessions are only 2 minutes long. Recommended usage is one session in the morning and one at night. Truvaga comes programmed with 350 sessions, which, if used twice a day, will last approximately 6 months. It's drug-free and easy-to-use therapy to help improve your health. No app or phone is required. We offer free standard shipping, payment plan options, and a 30-day money-back guarantee. It's only available in the U.S. at this time. Visit Truvaga.com. TRUVAGA.com and enter promo code JUSTBETWEENUS to enhance your wellness journey, support this podcast, and receive $15 off. That's TRUVAGA.com. Check out promo code JUSTBETWEENUS.
With Mother's Day around the corner, are you thinking about a truly special gift for your mom? Let me tell you all about MyLifeInABook.com. It's a unique service that turns your mom's life stories into a beautiful book. Pretty cool, right? Here's how it works. Every week, MyLifeInABook.com will send her a question via email. These can be pre-written questions about her life or any custom questions you wish to ask. And then she can either type her response or use their voice-to-text feature. And MyLifeInABook.com compiles all her responses into a beautiful keepsake book. And guess what? They can even create an audiobook using her voice recordings. It's like preserving her voice and her stories for eternity. Imagine discovering stories about her youth, adventures, and the challenges she overcame. This book becomes a legacy, something you and future generations can treasure forever. Your mom's given you a lifetime of stories. This is your chance to give her a way to share them. Right before I found out about this project, my mom made an offhand comment about wanting to write a memoir because she had such a wild childhood and there are all these things she's never really talked to us about. But asking someone to sit down and write a memoir is kind of daunting. So then I got her MyLifeInABook.com, and now she's getting prompts to answer on a weekly basis, and it's a lot easier than just undertaking an entire memoir. I'm so excited to see what my mom does with MyLifeInABook.com because she's someone who doesn't always feel comfortable just sharing about herself, but having these prompts and knowing that I really want to hear her answers is going to inspire her to probably share more with me about her life and her upbringing than I've ever been shared with before. So I'm so excited for that. Check out MyLifeInABook.com and use code JUSTBETWEENUS at checkout for 10% off. Create an unforgettable gift for your mom this Mother's Day. That's MyLifeInABook.com. Use code JUSTBETWEENUS for 10% off today. another controversial topic, in addition to writing out times tables by hand, is from a very intriguing new subreddit called Change My View.
Oh, I love this.
Oof, I hate this already.
A place to post an opinion you accept may be flawed in an effort to understand other perspectives on the issue. Enter with a mindset for conversation, not debate.
This is how I live my life.
Is it though?
Yeah. I'm down.
You're not looking for a debate?
I was going to say, are you more of a debater?
No, I would love a conversation.
Okay, after this, we'll all have to share one change my viewpoint.
Oh my God. Okay.
Have a conversation about. So this one is entitled, Flaking Has Become Too Normalized and Should Be More Condemned.
Incorrect. False.
Well, let's see. This has 3.6 million members, by the way.
Incredible.
Ranked in the top 1% by size. So people really are looking for conversations out there.
Yeah.
OP writes, I can say I have never flaked on someone in my life, and I take pride in that. Hmm. It's just a disgusting thing to do and shows a lack of concern for people other than yourself. Yet in today's time, flaking has become so normal, it's actually a bigger issue if you call it out. It's so normalized, it's predictable, and I'm actually surprised when people keep their word. Hmm. Imagine you had a watch that had the amount of time you had left to live. I walk past you and steal 2 hours. How would you feel about that?
This is the plot of the movie About Time with Justin Timberlake. Anyway, please go on.
I don't think it's called About Time. That's a different movie.
There's no way he's in a movie called Justin Time, right? As Justin Timberlake.
There is a movie about time with Justin Timberlake.
In Time.
And Amanda Seyfried. What is
it
called?
In Time.
About Time is a beautiful coming of age story about a young man and his father. And I really recommend it.
Okay.
Okay. How would you feel about that? Would you call me out for this behavior or would you go on about your business? What if multiple people did this consistently so you were losing 10 hours a week? What if we translate that time to money and now this person is taking $100 from you? Most people would see this as a problem, I believe. That's basically what flaking is. When you agree to meet, hang out, date, whatever, you're taking someone's time. Say you're meeting at 5 to 9. That's 4 hours blocked away. But you also have to take into account the preparation time, which is on the low end 1 hour. You also have to give time in case it runs late, so that's another hour. That's 6 hours of your life. It also keeps you from pre-filling that time with other things you may want to do. Maybe you could find something else to do, but chances will be making last-minute plans won't be something as good as you could have planned. Yeah, sometimes emergencies come up, but very rarely, and most of the emergencies aren't emergencies at all. It's really just, I don't feel like it. There's so much defense for flaking people, have been gaslit into accepting it, where if you actually expect people to keep their word, you're the bad person. To conclude, I think flaking should be more condemned and frowned upon rather than accepted as normal. Also, flaky people are shit.
Hard agree.
Yeah, I mean, what counts as flaking? If I canceled the day before, is that a flake?
No. I think 24 hours notice, great. Thank you. Okay. Now I have time to rearrange my schedule. But if you cancel anywhere after that 24 hours, maybe the morning of, if it's an evening type thing, fine. Mm-hmm. But I hate my time being wasted because I schedule out my time every single day. And if you mess up something where you are like half an hour late or an hour late or 2 hours late, and it's also your profession has to do with time, that really irritates me. Like, I cannot stand when people are just wasting my time.
Yeah, I mean, I guess to me it's all about, like, the amount of notice. It's hard, though, because I love to cancel. I'm just, like, really hoping that something gets canceled.
Then don't schedule it.
Well, when I wanted to schedule it in the moment, and then I'm tired or I feel overwhelmed by the plan. I think that the worst thing was when I was, like, early on in my career and you would have all of these meetings and you, like, had nothing going on. So these meetings meant so much to you. Like, just, like, a general meeting with, like, mm-hmm. an executive that was not going to lead anywhere. But, like, the fact that they had agreed to meet with you was just, like, so freaking exciting. And the amount of times that those meetings got rescheduled, like, the night before. Was, yeah. I mean, it's unbelievable the way that this industry just cancels meetings on you the day before, like more consistently than they keep the meeting.
Or like when you send information before time too, and then they don't review it, and then they come into the meeting as if they know absolutely nothing about it when you sent the material and they ask for it. that aggravates me too. We're wasting time. And most people have assistants. The assistants aren't filling y'all in on the information. Doesn't make any sense. One time I had a meeting at a big network and we're supposed to meet with an exec. They sent someone else to the meeting. That person didn't know anything about what we were meeting about. Like, they thought we were having a general meeting, and it was a very specific meeting about a pitch that they had requested.
Oh, no. What did you do?
Just, like, bantered for, like, 15 minutes, and then we're like, hey, do you want us to put the pitch up that you requested? Like, we have a whole deck. We're not even in a room that's equipped for a deck. We had to move rooms.
Wow. Were they apologetic, or were they just like, huh, so weird?
Yep, that was the second. Huh, so weird. My manager was pissed.
So, Allison, do you have a spicy change my view?
Yes, I do, but I refuse to change it.
Okay, what is it?
Here's my argument. Once you hit late 20s, no event should start after 8 p.m.
Okay.
Like, if you're having a party, I don't want to go after 8 p.m. That I can't show up at your party at 9 o'clock.
Okay, but if it starts at 7, can you stay past 8?
Yes, yes. I'm saying the start time. The start time an event, once you're in your late 20s, should not start past 8 p.m.
Any event?
Any event.
Like, sometimes, like, a club. Like, what if you go to dinner first, and then, like, a club thing is, like, at 10?
But you're already out. That's
you're already
different.
Out. I'm talking about starting your night. Any, like, where I don't leave my home to go somewhere until after 8 p.m.
Okay.
No, thank you.
Well, as everyone knows, we have very different lifestyles. I sometimes am leaving my house when I know Allison is asleep. Interesting. I guess I wouldn't mind because I could just show up whatever time I want. So if people want to start things at 7:30, that's fine. I'll still get there at 10.
Right.
Doesn't bother me.
I'm fine with this. It's not a hard and fast rule, but...
You see where I'm coming from.
Yeah, I don't have any arguments against you.
Thank you. Wow.
Okay. I mean, good gracious, I have so many. Do you think this show is entirely just me doing this?
Yeah, but sometimes you're just lying.
I'm not lying.
You've literally said
you
that
lie
you
lie.
You say that I actually don't agree with that. I'm just saying it to have a conversation.
Sometimes,
this has to be
something
you absolutely 100% is your hard and fast fact to you.
Well, I said this on an episode before, but I think people should be in each other's business more. Oh, it's none of my business why they broke up. Whose business is it then? Make it your business. Otherwise, things are so boring.
Nah.
This is my thing. Here's what I'm saying. Gossip is good.
Here I am, someone who makes... nothing anyone else's business. And then there's a certain mystique about me.
Uh-huh.
I don't like the mystique, I'll be honest.
Okay.
I'm not drawn to the mystique. I'm more drawn to the moments of openness from you.
Wow.
But that makes sense to my personality.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure many people are drawn to the mystique, but to me, I'm drawn to those glimmers of moments where you reveal something.
You can't have the glimmers without the mystique, though. They go hand in hand.
Because she's got to give and she's got to take away.
Or just withhold.
I don't have any mystique. Do you wish I had more mystique?
No. That's who you are. I'm not going to change who you are. I like who you are as you exist.
Well, it's interesting. You're not drawn to the chase, but you've been forced into the chase a few times.
A few times?
Well, I guess just Dan. Has dealing with stress and trying to get more focused a New Year's resolution you haven't cracked yet or don't really know how to fix? I have a lot of trouble staying focused, and I also get super stressed out, and I think that not being able to stay focused really dovetails with that. So if there was a way for me to keep my focus that didn't also cause my brain to get so scattered with stress, I would love to be able to fix it. I sometimes can't focus on the task at hand because I'm so busy realizing that there are things I need to do on the Just Between Us Instagram account. So I'll be like fully writing something and all of a sudden my brain will go, JBU Instagram, have to post on social media. Truvaga is a handheld product that stimulates the vagus nerve to improve overall health and wellness. Stimulating the vagus nerve with Truvaga helps to balance and strengthen the nervous system, which reduces stress, increases focus, improves mood, and improves sleep. Truvaga is owned by ElectroCore and uses its patented technology for overall health and wellness benefits. Its utilized technology is the most clinically studied and tested vagus nerve therapy available. Customizable sessions are only 2 minutes long. Recommended usage is one session in the morning and one at night. Truvaga comes programmed with 350 sessions, which, if used twice a day, will last approximately 6 months. It's drug-free and easy-to-use therapy to help improve your health. No app or phone is required. We offer free standard shipping, payment plan options, and a 30-day money-back guarantee. It's only available in the U.S. at this time. Visit Truvaga.com, Truvaga.com, and enter promo code JUSTBETWEENUS to enhance your wellness journey, support this podcast, and receive $15 off. That's Truvaga.com. Check out promo code JUSTBETWEENUS.
For our last post, I'd love to read one from the subreddit R Love, which is kind of wonderful that they even have this subreddit. Nowhere near as many followers as some of the other bangers, but pretty respectable at 370K. And this post is titled, "I couldn't reach my boyfriend for a while tonight and called him 15 plus times before he answered. He was just sleeping. His reaction melted me." Backstory, I am diagnosed with generalized anxiety disorder. So yes, I have a problem and I am actively working on it through medications and therapy. Same. My boyfriend always calls me before he goes to sleep. If for some reason he falls asleep without calling, which is very rare, I call him before I go to sleep, which has always woken him up. We only sleep apart from each other once a week. Tonight, for about an hour, I couldn't get a hold of him. Thinking back on it rationally, I should have realized he was probably deeply sleeping as he didn't get much sleep the night before. But my anxiety convinced me he was dead somewhere. So my call finally woke him up and I was just a sobbing, blubbering mess. He didn't once berate me, make excuses, or make me feel stupid. He just apologized. He had nothing to apologize for and reassured me. I told him I felt crazy. He said that is not true. He told me that my anxiety is part of me and he loves all of me, even the anxiety. I've never felt so reassured and safe. This man understands everything about me, even the parts I don't truly understand fully. He understands my anxiety without ever having experienced it himself. He amazes me every day.
Aww.
Isn't that beautiful?
See, that's really nice. And like, it just shows that there's a lid for every pot, because I think there's a world in which this person says this and then everyone's like, yo, bro, she's crazy. Like, she's crazy. Like, it really just shows that it sometimes it's just a matter of not being compatible with someone versus being compatible with someone. And yes, you have to work on yourself. And yes, like, you know, you can't just have all kinds of wild behaviors with no accountability.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just an understanding of how anxiety works, right? Like, it's somebody who, like, truly understands how anxiety functions and understands, like, that a break in the routine and a break in the agreement is going to trigger that, and to not have judgment and instead just, like, have compassion for it and space for it is, like, so beautiful. And I love that this story is, like, out in the world so people can see that, like, that type of relationship and dynamic is totally possible.
People paint with a broad brush. Oh, if she calls you so many times while you're sleeping, she's crazy. Or if, like, if he does this, like, you know, people want to put their own relationship, like, experiences on other people. And it's just not one size fits all.
Well, I wanted to leave us on that beautiful note before we dive into Reddit or Not, where we try to stump Reddit by coming up with something that has never been on Reddit before.
Whose turn is it? Is it mine?
I think it's my turn.
Oh, Melissa's turn. Melissa, you go.
A subreddit about people that can't get things out from between their teeth.
Anything? They can't get anything out from within their teeth?
They just have like one thing stuck and they can't get it out.
And it has to be a whole subreddit. It can't just be...
It can be a post.
Okay. Food stuck in between teeth. Any suggestions on removal?
Oh, babe. Water pick.
No, this is posted in Need Advice, labeled under dental. And the OP says, I ate some chicken about 30 hours ago, and it was rather dry. After I finished eating, pieces of it got stuck in my teeth. I managed to get most out, except for two spots. One, I should be able to get out soon enough, but the other, not so much. It's very lodged in there. And then here is an image of teeth with numbering.
it's just a numbering. Okay.
Well, this is a pro-life tip. Have something stuck in your teeth you can't seem to get out, no matter how hard you try. Tie a knot in your dental floss. Oh.
A knot in your dental floss?
Yeah, because then it'll make the floss like thicker, and then you can just pull it, I think.
Oh, interesting.
That would make sense. Did you ever have, when you had a loose tooth, did your parents ever wrap it in floss and then slam a door?
No, I always thought that was inhumane.
I can't remember. I know people do that, but I can't remember if I ever did it.
Inhumane. Me as well. Definitely wasn't how most of my teeth came out.
Just to me. I mean, I know it's very normal, but to me, I'm like, that sounds like it's the act of sitting there, wrapping it around the tooth when you can just pull it out. You're already in there. Just pull it out. And then you got to tie this long string to a tooth and then slam it shut because it's got to be fast enough that it yanks it out. And then it's going to make the noise and then your tooth's just dangling. Maybe. The tooth can go anywhere because you're really tying it on the fibers that hold your teeth, the nerves that are holding your teeth in place.
Oh, yeah. We did that.
Oh, God.
I wanted that money.
Nah, mine would be like one hanging loose and my dad will be just in conversation. He'll just go and then just flick it out.
He would just grab it out of your mouth?
It'll just flick it out. Yeah. And it would be over. Didn't even have to think about it.
All the attention when your tooth comes out at school and you get all the attention and everyone's like, oh my God. And you have like a tooth to show and you're the center of attention. Chef's kiss.
Have you both had your wisdom teeth out?
Mm-hmm.
No.
Me neither.
Mine had to get.
Oh, no. I had my wisdom teeth out. That's not true. I had my wisdom teeth out. I don't have my tonsils, but my wisdom teeth. Do you have your wisdom teeth out, Melissa?
Yeah, they got cut out.
I still have mine.
You're an anomaly.
Yeah, I think they're like in the back of my head. They're like not coming down yet.
Yeah, mine started coming in. I think I got mine taken out when I was that summer before junior year of high school. Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Wow. I'm 34 and still waiting.
Yeah, some people, they just don't come down.
I don't think they're ever going to come down.
Nah.
I had to go back to school with my face all swollen. And then these girls said that I look like a chipmunk. And then she drew my face all swollen in a picture and then gave it to me. And this was a friend.
Note, thank you all so much for listening. We will be back on Wednesday with a full episode of Just Between Us that you can access ad-free on patreon.com/justbetweenus. There will also be a huge chunk of the interview up for free on your regular feed. And then we will be back on Monday with another full episode of Too Long Did Read It, which you can watch on video if you get our Patreon, which is only $3 a month. So what are you waiting for?
So much content.
That's 8 ad-free episodes a month for $3. All right, tot-tot-tot. Just Between Us is a Gallison production, hosted by me, Allison Raskin.
And me, Gabe Dunn.
Produced by Melissa D. Montz and Diamond Imprint Productions.
Edited by Coco Lorenz.
And production assistance by Melanie D. Watson.
Brendan Burns composed our killer theme music.
Join our Patreon to watch full episodes and listen ad-free. The link is in the description.
And make sure to follow us on TikTok, Instagram, Discord, and Reddit.